All right, good morning. Praise the Lord. During the week when we get together as elders to pray for each of you, we obviously we talk about a lot of things, but certainly one of the themes is what a blessing it is and how important and critical it is that we gather together and fellowship with one another. And in the coming days, it's going to be ever more critical. Things will seem like they're just falling apart out there in the world. And where can you find safety and security but right here with our brothers and sisters in this local church? So I'm hoping today as we go through this message, you know, that'll in part be something that you take away and it just soaks in and you begin to meditate on that over the coming weeks. Our relationship with God through Jesus is just that, a relationship. It's one of our heart and soul with Him. It's a two-way relationship. God first loves us, and because of His loving kindness, we come to love Him back. As we come to love Him, we discover that there's a barrier of sin that has to be dealt with. And we come to a point where we acknowledge and confess our sin. We tell Him that we are repenting of it, and that it's our desire to be in His love. When we're in love with a person, we're committed to them. But more than that, we yearn or long to be with them. We want to talk with them. We want to know more about them. We want to give them gifts. We want to find ways to bless them and make them happy. Do we think of our relationship with God in this way? We should. We might not. We can be too focused on obeying a list of do's and don'ts. Or we can be too focused on loving other people, often with motives just to make us feel good or to be popular. Or to be loved back. In doing this, we forget to look up. We've left our first love. God has designed in us something called thirst. It has levels of intensity. Sometimes it can be a one. We're kind of thirsty, just a hint. Other times it can be at a five. We're pretty thirsty. We're looking around for water. It's near the top of our mind. We might pause for a bit to consider something else, but that thirst is still on our mind. Other times, maybe once in a while, our thirst is at a 10. We are thirsty. Nothing is going to get in our way until we get something to drink. We might even take someone else's drink when they're not looking. We drop whatever we're doing and we go and we find something to drink. That's thirsty. That's that 10 level of thirst. Somewhere on this scale between 5 and 10 is what we might call a thirst or a yearning. When we're in love with a person, we yearn for them. We have an Almighty God who loves us. And the question is, do we yearn for Him? Is our soul thirsty for Him? Turn with me to Psalm 63, and we're going to read this psalm. It's a psalm of David when he was out in the wilderness.
63.
Give me a hallelujah when you get there.
Hallelujah.
March straight to it.
All right. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate you on the watches, in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. So, is he your God? The true believer is convinced, and nothing in the sinful world can satisfy the wants and desires of our immortal soul. We expect happiness from God as our portion. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. Isn't yearning and thirsting what God wants from us in this relationship? Have you been to the wilderness, in a dry and weary land where there is no water? What is the wilderness, really? Is it an area of no water? Or maybe an area where there's a risk of danger?
An area apart from God.
Area what?
Area apart from God, so dry sand.
Well, could be, although, here's the paradox of that. When we're out in the wilderness, like David was out in the wilderness, and you're without creature comforts, you're without all of your amenities, you have just minimal stuff with you. Maybe you don't even have as much food or water, things that you need. You begin to have a yearning and a thirst. And Many of us will say, when I'm out in the wilderness is when I feel closest to God. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, we've got all the distractions are not distracting us. And we've got time to think and consider, and the Holy Spirit will move. We're more able to listen. And really, that's kind of the concept behind fasting. You know, putting yourself out in the wilderness in a way. And it's hard to yearn and thirst when you're satisfied, when you're distracted with all of the things that we're distracted with. So, how does going into the wilderness help us? It removes those things. And so, David, even when he was out in the wilderness, even though it was harder, it drew him to his thoughts to God. God became his most important thought, his most important drive. It's like I was saying, when you're thirsty, really thirsty, like at a 10, I mean, there's nothing going to stop you from finding something to drink. I just thought of this. I was backpacking one time with a friend of mine. We were on like a 5-day backpack trip out in the wilderness, and it was hot. And I mean, we were hiking the Continental Divide Trail and then the Colorado Divide, and we ran out of water. And I was getting so thirsty. And all of a sudden we saw this pond, but it was the dirtiest little pond. There was cows literally in the pond, but I was going to go drink some of that water. That's how thirsty I was. I figured, hey, I got a water filter. Surely that'll... And my friend, to stop me. He would not let me go over there. And so we're kind of praying. Ah, this is just... All of a sudden, this Jeep drives up. And he knows my friend. And we say, hey, we're kind of thirsty. So he opens his back gate and he has an ice chest full of ice water out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, what? It was just amazing. Anyway, I hadn't thought about that until just now. So I think we need to make it a regular part of our life to get out into the wilderness, you know, get away from things and experience God and be thirsty and be hungry and be undistracted and be a little uncomfortable. So do you experience God? David says in this psalm, I have seen you in the sanctuary. I've seen your power and your glory. How do we experience Him? We say often when people come to church here, it's important to invite non-believers to church or people that are unchurched to church so that they can experience God here. It's not that God is only here, but when we gather together and each of us are temples of the Holy Spirit, we gather, you know, the power and the glory of God is moving. He's here. He's drawn us to Him and He's showing up. If we're open to Him and welcoming Him, you know, He's going to touch our hearts. How do we experience Him? In the Old Testament, God's power and glory was maybe a little more physically visible. You know, a column of fire and smoke and you know, all of the things He had Moses and Aaron do. And his miracles were displayed, His power was displayed more physically and locally. You know, Moses would have to go meet with Him in the tent because everybody else was scared because they could see God come in the cloud and the power. And so in the New Testament, though, it's through the inner man, our inner man connection to God with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's expressed through our lives, being the temples of the Holy Spirit, and God doing things that often only believers can see. We need to be alert, recognize miracles and moves of God when we see them, and give God the credit. In other words, call them out so that other people can begin to see. Coincidences. Well, we all know there's no such thing as a coincidence. What are they?
God moments.
Yeah. In every so-called coincidence, you can see how God created that moment, how He did something in that. And, you know, that's an opportunity for us to explain God to others. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Better than life. Do you really feel that? Do you feel that God's loving kindness is better than our life? In other words, we wouldn't want to have life. I don't want to have a life if I can't have God, if I can't have His loving kindness. Is God worth our devotion and attention? Is He worthy? His loving kindness towards us is eternal. Think about eternal. Think about immortal. How many things in this world are eternal? Very, very few, if any. It's simply the attributes of God that are. How many things on this earth travel with us into heaven? You know, the expression is there's no U-Hauls in heaven. You can't drag one of those up there. There's no storage units in heaven either. So even if you had a U-Haul, you wouldn't have any place to put it. Eternal things are better than temporary things in this life. And we would be good to switch our thinking from focusing too much on the physical things that we have that we think we need and foregoing the eternal things. So how can we adjust this balance? Maybe you start to notice this week as you go through and say, you know, I think I'm leaning a little too much towards the physical and the temporal things, and maybe not so much for the eternal things. And at that point in time, Kim is going to call you. And she's going to see if you have time to do something. I'm joking, but I'm deadly serious. Not that she will call you, but the reason is it's an eternal thing. When you do things serving others, doing it just because God wants you to do it, that's eternal things. You're laying up rewards in heaven. And we have to consciously change our thinking to starting to think about things that are eternal. Doing things where we're not going to get, you know, that pat on the back or money or any of the physical things that we're used to getting. You know, King David, remember him? He was called a man after God's own heart. But, you know, when we read the story of David, we think, well, this guy's kind of carnal. Look at all the stuff he did. How could God say he was a man after his own heart? It's because he was. David pursued God. He was passionate. In all of his, you know, crazy things that he did, he came to his senses. He came back and he yearned for God. Even in his lowest points, he would come to a point and realize that God was his only salvation. God was his only purpose in life. You know, so often we read in Psalms where people are attacking him and he's just crying out to God. So would that be said of us? Would people who know us say, yeah, that was a person after God's own heart? You know, even when they see us do something that's a little questionable, would they, in the long term, be like, no, that person's after God's own heart. That person was really seeking God. So what was the key for David? His soul thirsted for God. And that's what we might want to focus on in our own lives. Is my soul thirsting for God? And I'll admit to you, I question myself. Am I really thirsting for God? Yeah, I mean, I can do a lot of things, but am I thirsting for God? I mean, I know he's always with me. I know he's working through me, but am I thirsting for him? You know, is it a two-way relationship? Am I just taking advantage of all these great things he's doing and not thirsting or yearning for him? Oh, you're already there. So, the psalm says, my lips will praise you. You know, how do we yearn and thirst for God? My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. You know, are we thinking about him throughout the day? At night when we're getting ready to go to bed? If you wake up in the middle of the night, do you think about him and yearn for him? And you know, this is not like a checklist. I'm just trying to find out how holy and righteous you are. But rather, it's more of a prompter, a provoker. You know, consciously ask yourself that question and turn your thoughts towards him. I have to do that. You know, before I'm going to bed, oh, I'm going to consciously turn my thoughts. I'm going to start talking with God. If we're going to yearn and thirst for him, a yearn and a thirst is something that we consciously decide to do. It just doesn't come upon us. I mean, I think we have to, you know, look that way, look that direction, look to God, and look at him and for him with passion. The point is, we can't fake it. You can't fake yearning and thirsting. And it isn't a time for acting or empty talk. You know, we all know people who just kind of put on a big show at times. Maybe, you know, they're for 1 hour a week, and then the rest of the week you wonder what's going on. Because our lives speak. They speak loudly. Do you go to the sanctuary? Well, this is certainly one of them. But you may have a place in your house or in your yard or out in the woods. Do you go to the sanctuary? The sanctuary being a place where you're focused on God and you're worshiping Him, you're hearing from Him. And do your lips praise Him? Or do you find that during the week, maybe you're cursing Him or complaining, you know, this God, He really isn't doing anything for me. I've asked Him to do this or that, and, you know, He just doesn't show up. Or are you praising Him with joyful lips? You know, He says to give thanks in all circumstances. Challenge yourself. Even in the worst times, the worst problems, can you find a way to give thanks? And if you can, I guarantee you, God will honor that and He will move in your life. Do you lift up your hands in worship? You know, is your soul satisfied with what He has given you? Are you content with the things that He has given you? Or do you keep looking for something more? It's part of our nature. We have to get rid of that flesh. Crucify that. Be content with the things that we have. Do you think of God during those quiet times? Do you intentionally seek Him or praise Him? So who has been there as your help all the time? You know, David is saying in here that his soul clings to Him. Clings to Him. You know, this stuff, you know, if you want to be thinking about clinging, man. You know, this stuff is a challenge for me because here's why. You know, you get it out and you're going to put it on over a bowl or something. And so you're getting ready. Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's sticking and you can't get it. This is clinging. Are we clinging to God in this way? I mean, can anybody pull me away from God? No, I'm clinging to Him. My soul clings to God. Hopefully you'll be thinking about it this week when you remember that verse. My soul clings to Him. Do you remember His help? I mean, God has helped each and every one of us many times in many ways. Do you remember it? Do you acknowledge it? Or do you feel like you deserve it? You're entitled to it. Of course God needs to do that for me. God's right hand is that of power and authority. That's what that expression means, right hand. And Jesus is right at this moment at His right hand, sitting at His right hand, on the right hand of the throne. That's that seat of power. And God is here and with us, whether we know it or not. God is working for us each and every moment as we go throughout our life, whether we see it or not, whether we realize it or not. He's out there arranging circumstances. He's protecting us from unseen things. We say often, when you have a delay, it might be a divine delay because maybe your car wouldn't start the first few times and you're running 5 or 10 minutes late. You know, maybe God kept you from getting in a car accident. Or maybe something else had to happen first before you could go. There are so many things that we take for granted that we don't even know about that God is doing on our behalf for us. And it's those unseen miracles that we need to acknowledge God for. How do you acknowledge God for something when you didn't see it happen? We just have to know that He is doing it. That's the nature of God, the character of God. That's the nature of our relationship. And as a result, Are we singing for joy? That right there, are we singing for joy, is the core of how we choose the music that we're going to sing to. We want joy-filled music. Why shouldn't we be happy and joy-filled with the God that we have and the relationship we have with Him? We should. We should. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes and jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. We don't need to fight back on Facebook when the lies come. You know, the lies will be stopped. Threats come at us often, causing us to seek protection and safety. And who or what will we depend upon? The government's primary job, its primary reason for being, is to protect its citizens. But that is a temporal protection. It's subject to political forces, changes in policy and leadership, and has always proven over time to be driven towards evil and tyranny. You look throughout history and you see governments do that. All the kings in Israel, every one of them, bad, bad, bad. They might have started out good. You know, he did the things of God. And then, as time went on, drove towards evil and tyranny. So, ultimately, we need to depend upon something else. And that is God. He is our protection, our Savior, our redemption. We need to swear by Him, to be devoted to Him, and we need to speak truth. We don't want to be those that are speaking lies, because God will deal with that. Let us be those who are truth tellers. So this psalm that we just went through, Psalm 63, is one of looking up, turning our eyes unto God. This is the first commandment. We say this all the time. You know, the young lawyer comes up to Jesus, the rich young lawyer, and he asks, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, and he's quoting from Deuteronomy, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your might. So often, I think, and maybe I'm even guilty of teaching this, that we focus too much on loving others and we kind of forget about loving God. You know, that's the first commandment. We got to love God first. If we don't love God first, we're not going to even have love in us to love others. If we're just simply loving others and we've forgotten to love God, that love is not a divine supernatural love. That's just a kind of a earthly love. So it's important for us to remember to focus on God and to be loving Him. So two statements that kind of summarize a lot of what we talked about this morning, and that is thirst before satisfaction. We have to be thirsty. We have to yearn. We got to be thirsty before we can be satisfied. If we're satisfied, we're not thirsty, right? But if we're thirsty, we will yearn, we will seek out. So, thirst before satisfaction, and then faith precedes fellowship. Faith precedes fellowship. Fellowship is a spiritual thing. It's not a just showing up at the 4-H club and, you know, doing the project. This is something different. When you come to church, it's a spiritual gathering. It's fellowship. We're here in presence of God. He's here with us. And that is fellowship. And the fellowship is because of God. It's the one thing that we have to have in order for fellowship to exist. We have to have faith through Jesus in order to have fellowship with one another. Amen. You guys were kind of quiet. Anybody got anything?
Actually, you know, I can say that, you know, it's true. The more that I seek God and seek to try to be like Him, the more that, you know, I'm able to show His love outside of this church.
Yeah, His love.
It's just, thank you, God. Thank you for that hunger in me to get to know you every morning. If you guys can get up just a little bit earlier, maybe that's something I can add. Just to just spend that extra 5 minutes with God. It's amazing, you guys. It's
amen.
That's good.
As long as you're not asking me to stay up later.
Amen.
I'll do the get up early part.
Yeah. Amen.
All right, well, praise God. So that, you know, I think that was kind of the theme this morning with our music is to be yearning and joy-filled and seeking God. All right, well, let's gather around and pray for one another.